It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi, brought to you by Gardener Supply and Vermont Victory Greenhouses. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Mary.
Certain late summer flowers are kind of flashy and bright and tall and gaudy even. They sort of steal the spotlight in late summer, but I understand you have a favorite late summer flower. It's easy to grow. It's easy to care for. Pollinators love it. Can you tell us a little more about helenium?
Sure, helenium. So this is like the child that kind of gets left behind. You know, the big hibiscus is showy, the hydrangeas are showy, the phlox are looking beautiful. And then you get these smaller flowers that are really actually beautiful this time of year, especially helenium, because they grow in clusters. So you get a clumping plant that has clusters of these flowers. It's also called sneezeweed, which is kind of unfortunate because people think it has pollen that will make you allergic to it. But that's not the reason that they call it sneezeweed. It's called that because they used to, in olden days, dry the leaves and use it as a substitute for snuff. So helenium will flower in colors ranging from orange and red and yellow. Beautiful small flowers in this clump that just grows really well, 3 to 5 feet tall, hardy to zone 4, really doesn't have a lot of pests. Sometimes you'll get some powdery mildew, but not usually that much. There's some shorter varieties like Short and Sassy and the Mariachi Siesta series, which is kind of cool. Those only grow 18 to 20 inches tall. So if you have a spot where you want to put a shorter plant in, it'll work really well. They're good companions with a lot of these late summer fall bloomers like the asters, the sedums, the rudbeckias, all of those. They play well with others. And then in the spring, if you want to have more heleniums, you can divide them. And the clumps will slowly expand, so you can divide them into other parts and put them in other places in your landscape. And as you mentioned, bees, butterflies, pollinators love these plants. We have a number of them right next to our deck, and we just sit out there and watch them go to town. It's a great plant to have late summer, something that's going to come back consistently every year and really be good for the environment at the same time.
Nice. Well, Joyce and Anne have questions that are related to the recent flooding. First off, Joyce's question about garden produce post-flooding. She's asking, can I take off leaves of basil, chard, kale, things like that that may have touched the floodwater? And can I eat the new growth? And then if broccoli formed before the flood but was not touched by floodwater, is that safe to eat?
Yeah, really not in either case. If there's floodwaters that have been there and if you're going to eat anything that already had formed the fruit or the edible part of it, whether it be a leaf or a broccoli head or a fruit, you really shouldn't be eating any of that because some of those floodwaters could have splashed on it. You don't really know if it's contaminated or not, and it's better safe not to eat any of those things. But, of course, as we've said before, if some of your plants, your squash, your cucumbers, your tomatoes, your peppers form fruits after the floodwaters recede, then those fruits should be okay. And of course, it's not too late to plant, and we've talked about that on this show.
Right. And this question from Anne, can gardeners and farmers plant safely in areas that were covered with floodwater?
Well, it all depends upon how long that floodwater was there and if it really contaminated the soil. So the best thing to do would be get a soil test. And UVM has a lab where you can get a heavy metal test and other tests to check what kind of contaminants you have. If the tests come back negative, you don't have high levels of anything, then yes, you can go ahead and plant. But you want to work in a lot of organic material, compost, and mulch because that soil has been really depleted from all that flooding. You can always do cover crops too. That would be another thing to really rejuvenate that soil, let it grow into the fall, and then in the spring you till it under and you'll really help that soil and hopefully you'll be able to plant in the spring.
And if you've got questions about your garden, you can send them to vermontpublic.org. Search for All Things Gardening and find out how to submit your question there. Thanks so much, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.